definitely the case. For every fisherman, there's a view. But that said, I think fishermen have also seen the cost of being fragmented, and decisions are taken without them. Politicians prefer to deal with a single voice, and there's been enough issues presented to the industry in recent years that are hopefully a catalyst to make that single voice possible. The marine park debate, that's been going on for half a decade or so. Some of the negative publicity that came about through super trawlers has certainly not helped the industry as a whole. And then there's petty skirmishes around the edge where the industry's painted as less than professional and responsible, where the reality is really quite a bit different. You know, we've got an immense amount to be proud of, and an organisation that can tell that story, I think, is really very valuable. And potentially some of the early goals to be kicked are around just something simple like country of origin labelling. So if in one simple move we're able to get Australian seafood recognised through the supply chain as Australian seafood, then that would be a very significant deliverable.
What would you regard as the highest priorities for a future United Seafood Australia body?
I think they change as the climate changes, Charlie. So the issues today, potentially, as I say, the opportunities around building community support for the industry, telling our stories better, handling the policy engagement with government. Today's issues aren't always tomorrow's issues, but what we do know is that if we're not united in what we say and how we present ourselves to the community and the decision makers, that we'll end up with a very poor outcome.
I was just going to ask you, when you said as the climate changes, whether that was literally or figuratively, but I think you've answered my question. The northern prawn fishery is obviously a very valuable Commonwealth trawl fishery with some very large corporations, including your own, with vested interests in that fishery's future. How will an organisation such as United Seafood Australia be able to represent you along with, say, the individual licence holder in a gill net or a finfish fishery?
Well, I think this is the other issue where industry struggled over the years. So it's quite clear that at a fishery-specific level, then there's a place for a fishery-specific organisation, and that deals with the immediate problems of how many boats and when will the season start and how do we better coordinate our selling activities. If you go up to the next level, at the wild fishing industry level, we've got the Commonwealth Fishers Association. So an industry association like the Northern Prawn then makes a contribution to that next level of representation, and that will be broadly dealing with things like cost recovery and various policy positions, might be policies on bycatch or the way management advisory committees and science work. And then at the national level, which is where this new body seeks to make a contribution, it's a broader brief. So it's around the overall reputation of the industry and at all levels. It potentially things like retaining access to fuel excise rebates, which is really, really important to the industry as a whole. And any of the issues of the day that come along now or in the future.
What does it say about the federal government's attitude towards the industry that it has been willing to stump up a significant amount of money, more than $500,000, at a time when, generally speaking, federal government is pulling back from directly funding peak body organisations?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The flow of funds, in fact, is somewhat delayed from when the decision was made. So I think this was a pre-election commitment in the previous round, so that's nearly 3 years old. So, but what it does say, and I think is important, is that for government, having a synthesised industry view is really highly valued. So by encouraging industry to mature and develop a debate within itself and come up with policy positions is very, very valuable to government, and this amount of money helps really underline that.
And in terms of having a sustainable funding base going forward, obviously the decision was made quite early in the process that there would not be a compulsory levy asked for from industry participants. It's a voluntary process, which you've signed up for, the Northern Prawn Fishery. But does that diminish the body itself as a truly representative body?
Yeah, there's definitely two streams of thought there. It's nice to think that you could have a reliable, steady stream of funds that come from a compulsory levy. I tend to believe that organisations that need to, if you like, deliver for their members are much more responsive. And so if contingent on writing next year's cheque is on last year's performance, then those that are involved in representing the business are going to do a very good job for the members that do sign up. And then there's going to be some freeloader effect. A certain amount of that's just going to be inevitable, and I think mature industry will just suck it up and accept that that's the way it is. But that the industry, the representation is still important.
How big an opportunity is this for the seafood industry?
It's a generational opportunity. I think what makes it different is the unique collaboration, which is aquaculture with wild capture and retail. What's also nice is that the sisterhood that's driving this don't know what they don't know, and so they have this terrific energy and enthusiasm for making this happen, where some of us resigned, crusty old bastards have long since given up.